All right, let's come back together. Together, together, together. So, I'm thankful that you guys are all feeling well. There's a lot of people sick right now. So, yeah, I wanted to pray over them and just release healing and believe for restoration. There are a lot of people that I know running fevers, really ugly sick. So, Lord, we declare healing and blessing over everyone here and everyone not here right now. I pray, Lord, that you would break fevers, Lord, release inflammation in people's bronchial passages, their lungs. Lord, we just declare freedom. In Jesus' name, Lord, we break the power of sickness and release health, wholeness, and healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I have a bit of a odd, at least odd for me, direction that I feel like the Lord wants to go, and I'm not struggling at all. I'm kind of waiting for a little more of a push. So while I wait for a push, I'm going to talk to you for a minute until I feel a release to be able to start down this road. I know where I'll start. When I was growing up, I didn't really know my lineage. I still really don't know much. I was told I was Mexican and white and I don't know, a whole mix of stuff, but that was after I thought I was adopted, and I went through a whole gamut of stuff that was weird. But some of my mom's family are, my grandfather in particular was dark-skinned, and so I always thought we were Mexican, And I was let to believe that for a long time, and even spoke Spanish, and my name was Jaime Ricardo Isaías Neil Tomás Daniel Chandler. my brother, Juan Roberto José Cipriano Lupe Silva. So in case you didn't know, I am partially bilingual. All out of a weird coincidence, but here's why I'm telling you this. I found out later, like much later. Actually, I didn't find out. You found out, yeah, just not that long ago, maybe a little over 5 years ago, that I'm actually American Indian. And so I've been working on my Apache. No, just kidding. Yeah, I've been working on my tomahawk throwing, so everybody sit still. I'm pretty good aim. I didn't understand why, nobody talked about where my family came from. Nobody talked about, much of anything, but I found out my grandfather was 100% Native American, and he grew up uber dirt poor, with, you know, no shoes, dirt floor, really super poor. And so he was really embarrassed about being American Indian and was teased. And like, so it became a thing of shame to hide instead of, you know, he didn't want anybody to know. I don't know the story. I never talked to my grandpa about it, so I don't know how much or how little he was, you know, persecuted or teased or whatever. All I know was, for some reason, there was this sort of us and them mentality, if you will. And I didn't, still to this day, didn't quite understand. Now, I would tell you this, that I am probably the least prejudiced person, in my own mind at least. But I realized something about myself over the last few days, that I may not be prejudiced, but I'm sometimes insensitive. There's a good word. So here, let me give you an example of what I mean, and you'll start to understand why I'm going this direction in a minute. I used to think that it was like building a bridge or, you know, closing a gap by telling someone like Deborah, I don't see color. Like, and that is a pretty, I typed that statement in this morning, and the old CEO of Starbucks used that same line of, I don't see color, therefore, you know, it was talking about his hiring and different things. But the Lord convicted me about this the last couple of days, that by me telling Deborah, I don't see color, I'm actually telling you, I don't see you. I don't, you know, see what identifies you as someone unique, someone different. The reality is you and I are actually 99.5% the same. Everything about us is the same, other than our skin tone is a little bit. Yeah, watch this. So, you ever heard this statement? Like, I know I'm a white guy, I probably shouldn't be talking about these things, but I don't really care. Right? I'm American Indian. I can talk about anything I want. Okay. Man, that just sucked the air out of the room before I said that. Okay. My opinion, I've never understood why people, and I'm going to say this, people of color are called people of color, and then you have white and you have people of color. I've never understood that's white is a color. In fact, like in the springtime, a white guy is white, and in the summertime, a white guy might turn brown or he might turn red or he might, you know, when a white guy gets cold, he turns blue. Like you have brown and you have dark brown, right? Like that. But so why am I not a person of color? Like, I understand where it all came from. I just think that we have created unnecessarily this us and them mentality when it comes to race, and it's driving me crazy. And I have played a part in this without realizing, like, I've known you for over 20 years, and I know you're not offended with me, but at the same time, I honestly thought it was really good. Like, you know, I've told you stories about my children and how we didn't teach them color. We didn't teach them, you know, this person's black and this person's white, but I'll tell a story on you and Josh one time. Deborah Kidder is over at my house, and Josh, my oldest son, looks at Deborah and he says, "Deborah, how come you speak English?" And she went, "What?" He goes, "Deborah Kidder, how come you speak English?" And she says, "Josh, what language should I speak?" And he goes, "I don't know, Spanish." And she says, "Well, why would I speak Spanish?" He goes, "Well, you're brown." And she says, "I'm brown?" And he goes, Josh says, "Yeah." And she goes, "Well, Josh, what color are you?" And he goes, "Peach." Again, I was kind of proud of that. I'm like, I didn't run around and try to teach my children black, white, brown, yellow, red, whatever. I just, people are people, I'm not going to go too far down that road because I never understood why he didn't go, "Why is Kevin and Deborah?" Anyway, he just never did that. But I'm recognizing that after I started taking a look at this, we do this everywhere. There are us and them in everything we do. And we draw lines on us and them that, let me give you an example. Either you're a Republican or you're a Democrat. And if you're a Republican, you can never agree with something a Democrat does. And if you're a Democrat, you can never agree with something a Republican does, even if they're right. Because if I do, then I'm a sellout. Even if they're right, and I so choose to go, that seems logical, and I think they might be right, I'm now a sellout to the us and them. And we create this, this is big. You have people who like the president and people who don't like the president, us and them. We have people who are, again, white and people who are of color, and we have we have people who like police and people who don't like police. And no matter what happens on either side, you can't agree because that puts me on your side and I'm against you. Okay, watch. Turn to Joshua chapter 5. I want to show you something that really went pow in my heart. So Joshua is getting ready to go take on Jericho, right? And he's out praying because he's trying to figure out, I don't know if you are familiar with what Jericho looked like. There are a lot of different thoughts, but here's one thought. I can't think right now of how tall that I've read the walls actually were, but I have read that the thickness of the wall or that encircled Jericho was big enough that they could have chariot races around the walls of Jericho. Some people say they were as high as 60 feet. Some people say they weren't quite that high. I don't know that it's completely relevant whether they're 60 feet, 100 feet, 10 feet, or whatever, because none of it really mattered to God. But to Joshua walked up to this situation and he looked at it and he thought, what in the world are we going to do? This is impenetrable. This is we're not going to do much damage by throwing rocks at this thing. We're not going to do. So he steps out of the camp and he begins to pray. And in verse 13, the angel of the commander of the Lord's army shows up to Joshua, and Joshua looks at him and he says this, "Are you for?" He actually pulled his sword out, which, don't do that. That's a bad idea. An angel shows up, leave your sword in where it's at. But he pulls his sword and he says, "Are you for us or are you against us?" Right? Do you see that? Is it up there? Oh, there it is. His eyes look, behold, a man stood opposite his sword drawn in his hand. Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversary?" So are you for us? Here's the us and the, are you for them or for us? Which one? Us or them? Pick one. Here's the crazy. So here's what the guy says. So he said, "No." Let me give you the, So you go home, you ask your kids, do you want ice cream or do you want cake? No. Guess what that means? You get nothing, right? That's how it works in my house. It's a weird answer though, right? Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? No. Okay. But he goes on and he says this, Joshua, take off your sandals, for the ground that you're standing on is holy ground, right? It says something like that. The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals off your foot, for the place where you stand. It wasn't just one, y'all. He took off both. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, it was both. For the place where you stand is holy. And so Joshua did it, or Joshua did so. So watch this. If you were to go to any country, but let's just choose Israel. If you were to go to Israel and you went into the United States Embassy in Israel, where are you actually at? Are you in Israel? You're in the United States, y'all. If you set foot in an embassy, it doesn't matter what country you're in, you are now in, that is the United States. Or you go to Japan and you step in, you are now, or you go to Japanese, you know, embassy in America, you are in Japan. That is not the United States, that is Japan. You get that? Yeah, that's why law no longer, anyway, regardless. So, according to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 maybe, it says that you and I are actually citizens of heaven. So Joshua asks this citizen of heaven, are you for us or are you for him? And this citizen of heaven looks at Joshua and says, no, you're no longer where you think you are. You are now in heaven. Does that make sense? Like, I know that's a little bit weird for some. I know that we just crossed that line of like, what? He told him, take off your shoes for the ground that you're standing on. In other words, it could read like this. This is, I'm not changing the Bible, so if you think that's what I'm doing, plug your ears. Just because I don't want you to hear what I'm about to say. It could have read like this. Joshua, you are no longer standing in Jericho. You are now standing on the ground of heaven, right? So when the angel said, I'm not for you, I'm not for them, I'm for God, and he begins to tell Joshua what the plan is based on how God sees, not based on how we see or they see. He cut the us and the them completely out of the picture and said, here's what I want you to do. Watch. I'll bring this home in a different way. Jesus in Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 verse 11 says, Jesus sat at a table. He's in Matthew's house. Sorry, you're joining on my ride. Jesus is in Matthew's house. He just had met Matthew. He's like, Matthew, come follow me. Matthew's like, sweet, let's go. He's a tax collector. He leaves. They're in Matthew's house. It says, according to Mark chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 9, Jesus is sitting at his table and a whole bunch of people come and sit down. They're all tax collectors and sinners. Whatever that, like, seriously, when you read tax collectors and sinners, this is how you could read that. The lowest of the low. Like, the sinners of sinners of the sin-sinning sinfulness that live in Sin City. The sinners and the tax collectors are sitting next to Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes, actually it says not only Jesus, but he's sitting next to his disciples. The Pharisees and the scribes see this, and they go, wait a minute, I thought he was one of us. So why is he sitting with them. I thought he was one of, if he's not one of us, he must be one of them. And if he's one of them, we can no longer associate with him. No matter what he says, no matter what he does, right or wrong, good or bad, he's now with them. We have to fight because we are us. You get this? So when we get a picture of the world and we create this thing of an us and a them, we immediately start going, until you think like me, I cannot come into any kind of agreement with you because you are a them and I'm an us. You catching this? Watch. Trying to find where the scripture is, sorry. It's Matthew somewhere. I know it's in Matthew. It doesn't matter. You'll find it someday. Jesus is asked this question. What is the greatest commandment ever? Jesus says this. The greatest commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. And the second is like unto it, love your neighbor as yourself. If we have an us and them mentality, we don't have to love anybody that we don't classify as neighbor. Here's why I started all the way back at the whole Indian thing for me. If I get a mentality like the cowboys and Indians, they're just savages, kill them, it's okay. They're just slaves. What's the big deal? I don't have to love you because I just lumped you into something completely different than neighbor because I have an us and them mentality. So if I look at things like, I'm going to take this in a weird direction maybe for some, but I was convicted about this. I have been really frustrated, irritated, and really didn't, and I still don't like it, but how many of y'all have seen the football players that kneel when the national anthem, right? That's, maybe you're not as frustrated as me. You should become a patriot, but I'm just kidding. But that was the guise that I operated under, is I really don't like, and they need to be fired. Their employee, they should not be allowed to do this. And I heard our president tweeted this. He used Pat Tillman, the guy that was a Arizona Cardinal and went and joined the Army, became Special Forces, and was killed over in Afghanistan in, I think, 2004. And not only our president, but several people have used him as a kind of a poster boy of what do you think he, you know, he gave his life, not so you could kneel, but so you could stand and declare. He gave his life so you and I could have freedom of speech, not so that I could have the freedom of speech that you think I should have. That was convicting to me, because I think everybody should stand. I think God's working on me right now as we speak. Work, work, work. But I'm recognizing that even in little things, and maybe that's not so little, but in little things like that, I create an us and a them thing. And if you're on this side of them and I'm on this side of us, I don't have to love you like I love somebody who's on this side. There is a actual, like a psychology word, it would be called in-grouping. You have in-grouping bias and out-grouping discrimination. Just, yeah. So I wrote down some things that I thought was kind of interesting to in-grouping and out-grouping. And listen to this. I'm more comfortable with people in my group, so the us. I'm more comfortable with those like me. I'm more inclined to spend time socially with those like me. I'm more patient with those like me. I give the benefit of the doubt quicker to those like me. I express more grace when mistakes are made by those like me. It's easier to communicate with those like me. I assume that I'll get along easier with those like me. I'm more willing to go out of my way to help those like me. I possess more positive assumptions about those like me. You catching this? You see how we create the us and the them? When Jesus came to actually annihilate the whole idea of an us versus them, watch this. We all have a desire to be sent. We all want to be used by God, including me. We all want these things. But not only does John 3:16, but also 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says that because of the love for the world, God sent His Son. If you want to be sent, you first have to fall in love with those He wants to send you to. We have to stop creating an us and a them. Listen to this. We do this particularly in denominations, in people who think like me. I'm charismatic, I'm Pentecostal, I'm Baptist, I'm Lutheran, I'm this, I'm that, and you don't think like me, therefore, this often comes out in such a way that I cannot even associate with you because you think differently than I do, so therefore, I've got to build this us and them wall that not only protects me, but it protects you and it protects my family. We have created this whole thing on we've got to homeschool our children to protect them from them. And I homeschooled my kids, so, well, she did. I didn't do anything. I cheered. Yeah, go, baby. You're amazing. You're awesome. You're a good teacher. Kiana calls me. She's like, Dad, I need help with my math. Okay, tell me the problem. The answer is 21. Okay, there's my extent of helping. I promise. I'm the horrible, worst, horrible teacher that way. But we have created these bubbles within Christianity of us and them that we don't even realize exist. And we push away them all the time. And then we say things like this. Jesus loves you all. Would you come? Would you come? Would you come? Send them all, God. Send them. We want to love them. Oh, not the homosexuals. Sheesh. Not those guys. Transgender. Are you stinking kidding me? Do you know how disgusting that is? Oh, is this a little too real? Someone who is involved in Satanism, that's all right, we can deal with that. As long as they're done with it and they're really wanting Jesus. They're not just here trying to infiltrate. Right? Oh my God, somebody walked in the door and I think they used to be a witch. Sweet. Bring them on, you know? I'm not saying you go into things with ignorance and stupid about... That was a little strong. Ignorance and nice things. I'm saying, though, that we operate under an us and them until we, like, I'm just going to tell it the way that I know myself to be. When I'm face to face with somebody who I would generally classify as an them compared to my us, as long as I think they're either close to or thinking about or potentially could step into being an us, I will spend all day ministering, loving them. That's just the reality. Maybe you're not like that, but I have to take an honest look at myself. And it's not that I don't or won't minister to people who are a them and you have an us, but I'm recognizing there's a whole lot more of this in my heart than I want there. That's why I started saying I'm not a racist, but I realize there are things inside of me that still created an us and a them, and I haven't learned quite how to embrace somebody wholeheartedly, completely, that is different than me. Not just race. I'm saying, because I'm not a racist, though I grew up in a very racist home. Hi, Dad. Hopefully you're not watching this. No, I honestly, is it okay if I ask, like, how many of you grew up in a racist home? Thank you for your honesty. I appreciate it. I think that had I come home with, like, if Sage was black and I brought her home, I don't know what would have happened. Or if she was Mexican, or if she was anything but white. Surprise! Yeah. We've been hiding all this time, Dad. Guess what? But I didn't realize how much of that, like, infiltrates your thinking, creates this us and them mentality. We're taught from an early age, either you watch CNN or you watch Fox. There's an us and a them. Am I wrong? Okay, I don't like either one, but... And that makes me feel good, right? I like, this is how I make myself feel better. Like, you must be doing good because you don't like either one. Whatever. Schools teach you who's safe, who's not safe, who's okay, who's not okay, and I'm not against teaching those type of things. I just realize that we're bombarded day after day from the time we're little all the way up until now. We do it in church. We create us and them and us and them. We do this, but they do that. And those, you know, the Mormons, and the, you know, the Catholics, they have, and all that. Those were icons and confessions and I just did all that without talking. But how much more does God love me than them? Right? How much more does God love me than the person who is struggling with addiction, or the person who's struggling with, like I said, homosexuality or their gender or whatever? And I'm not at all saying those things are good or okay or we should embrace them or any of that. I'm just saying that when we learn that we are citizens of heaven, and the ground that I'm standing on is not Chugiak, Alaska, but the ground that I'm standing on is heaven. And that the angelic force that is behind the kingdom is behind the thoughts of the kingdom, not the thoughts of Zach. Therefore, if I love people for who they are instead of what they do or don't do, guess what's behind me and for me? This is how Jesus lived his entire life. I have contemplated and wondered. I've looked at, like, how did he possibly, knowing what Judas was going to do, because Jesus was not caught off guard, knowing what Peter was going to do, because Jesus was not caught off guard, he didn't go, "Yeah, Peter, stay right there," right? Judas, you don't get to be a part of this. Because you're a them. Yeah. We're us, you're them. Go be with them. Right? He never did that, but I would have. I totally would have. I'd have shut Judas out. I'd have ripped into Peter. Tell him, oh yeah, you think you want to die with me? You know, all that stuff. Nope, I know exactly. I mean, I know he told Peter what he was going to do, but he never treated him different. He still washed his feet. He still loved him. He still used him. He still sent him. He still, brought him up on the Mount of Transfiguration. I mean, so many things that I'm looking at that he broke down the walls of the us and the them. And he even said things like this. You remember when James and John come to Jesus and they were like, hey, these people, they're over here doing this stuff in your name. Should we call down fire from heaven? Right? Should we get them? And Jesus is like, why? Like, look, guys, if they're not against us, they're for us. Like, maybe they're doing it different. Maybe they didn't come and have your permission. But they're still with us. They're not of them. So let's not bring the kingdom of heaven down on their heads, but let's envelop them in the kingdom of heaven by loving their and celebrating the differences instead of being afraid of the differences and pointing out all the differences and going, do you know why most of a generation gets bored and runs away from church at about the time they have to stop going because their parents quit forcing them to go? The teenagers and 20-somethings are leaving the church by the droves because they see it too. They see an us and a them. They see the relevance being like, yeah, I don't quite fit into who you say you are. I don't quite fit into this picture of, I don't want to be an us. I would rather be a them. That's being honest. That's one of the reasons I left the church, was I would rather be them than be what we're classifying as us. I don't like this us, because I didn't understand, first of all, and I was never showed that Jesus wants to get rid of the us and them. And he wants kingdom. He wants us to recognize, I'm not for you and against them. I am for the kingdom. So take your shoes off and get in this kingdom, boy. That's how I needed to be talked to sometimes. All right, moving on. So what do we do with this? Like, how do we move beyond? Because this has been so ingrained and so put in us and so, like, it's everywhere. Everything, all the time, us, them, us, them, us, them, us, them. The first thing that we have to do is so fall in love with the one who loves everybody that we stop worrying about. Like, sometimes I feel like we turn into the workers who get paid the same wage, whether they're there for an hour or they're there all day, and we get frustrated because God's doing something for somebody and I've been here all day long working and they're getting the same thing, because our eyes get fixed on what is happening to somebody else instead of having an encounter with the one that can so change my heart, break the us and the them off of me, that it no longer, I begin to rejoice when somebody else gets something that maybe I've been waiting for, longing for. Like, how many times have you heard people pray for somebody who in their own need? Like, I heard a story of Eric Johnson praying for a guy. Eric was dealing with a hernia. He was getting ready to have an operation. It was actually Sean Bowles. Sean Bowles was also had a hernia and was needing an operation. Eric prayed for Sean. Sean was healed and Eric still had the surgery. So does Eric now get mad and go, well, that wasn't right? That's not cool. That's not right. Or do we rejoice with those that are receiving and not fall apart because I didn't get what I wanted and what I think I needed? Recognize that I am standing in the kingdom and I don't understand how all of this works. I don't understand why it all happens the way it happens, but I love you. And I'm good with your decisions. And I'm good with the way that you want to do it. And I'm good with whoever you want to promote and whoever you want to demote and whoever you want to embrace and whoever you want to use me to embrace. Do you understand? Like, this is where it starts. This is the grassroots place of where it starts, is falling in love with the one who loves it all. For God so loved the world, all of it, every bit of it, every color, every race, every problem, every great thing, every horrible thing, all of it. He loved it all so much that he looked for the one, right, the Son, who also had an equal love for the things the Father loved. And he said, I'm going to take you and I'm going to send you to the ones that I love because you love me and I love you. You love them and I love them. And do you see? So if you want to be a radical change agent, a catalyst for revival, renewal, change in a nation, in a world, we must fall in love with the one who will cause us to love the ones that we are sent to. I'm going to stop there because I have way too much to try to get through. I believe that God wants to annihilate our us and them mentality and our in-grouping and out-grouping and you're this and you're that and I'm, you know. I'll give you one tiny example. I promise this will be the end. So that you even get a bigger picture of this. We do things like this. Like, we associate within our groupings even. Like, how many women are in this place? There's several. Now, if I was to say how many moms are in, there would be a certain number. How many grandmas are in the, you know, that there are certain things we identify as and with inside of our groupings, right? Like, we have golfers and we have football fans and we have hockey fans and and they associate with each other and they, right? We have people who are like football fans that won't associate with other people who are football fans of some other football team. Or all they do is harass them and go, you're stupid and, you know, you all should like the Cowboys and then you'd be okay. But, hallelujah! No. They need prayer. You get what I'm saying, though. Do you see how this breaks down into even small things in our lives that if we allow it to separate us or we allow it to be our comfort or our discomfort, we are giving in to the pressures of the us and the them. So just giving you a little example of how we can fight this. So everybody stand up. I believe with everything that I am that every one of us deal with this on one level or another. But I also know that as I've opened myself up to the Lord and just asked Him to show me, like, Lord, I thought I was okay. I thought I was doing okay in these things, but I want my heart to be right in all of these areas. And as I open myself up to hear Him show me where I'm dividing instead of where I'm bringing hope and bringing, you know, a bridge into these things. He's been faithful to show me, and I'm weeding these things out and falling more and more in love with Him instead of being identified by these things. So today, I just want to encourage you that if you want to ask somebody down here to come and pray for you, or to meet them down here and pray for you, you can do that. But I believe that this is something that is bigger, that you need to carry with you and just spend some time with the Lord today and the next few days, and just asking Him to show you those areas. And so, Father, I pray that as we leave this place today, Lord, that You, I thank You that You're faithful to reveal, You're faithful to show us where we divide, where we create the us and the them, where we reject, where we allow these things to have place in our lives. And I believe that You want to take care of them and get rid of them and break us free into kingdom mentality in all that we do. And so, Lord, I pray that today would be a day of freedom and embrace into what You want to do in our lives. We thank You. We give You all the praise, the glory, and the honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If you want prayer for anything, these guys are here to pray for you.